When the living God sent the Savior of the world to redeem humankind, he sent this child into the world by means, according to the scripture, of a virgin birth. In so doing, God announced God's intention to break all of the rules. And the Christ who began his ministry continued breaking rules, recruiting fishermen and tax collectors and fallen women and Samaritans into his movement. His movement broke so many rules, violated so many conventions, that the religious authorities of his day put him to death. And everyone thought, well, that put an end to that rule-breaking movement. But God broke the rules again. He raised his son from the dead and soon unleashed the spirit of his son into the hearts of his followers, and they broke out into the world. And they began to share a message of good news, not just to their own Jewish people, but to the pagans, to the Gentiles, and created a whole movement that turned the world upside down. The book of Acts, the second volume of Luke's Gospel of Luke, chronicles how this movement exploded. Sometimes through intentional thought, sometimes in response to persecution, sometimes by means of uneasy compromise, sometimes by means of just amazing creativity. And eventually, out of this movement comes the ironical story of a man who was a virulent opponent of Christianity, a violent oppressor of the faith, being illumined and delivered by the light of Christ to become its greatest and most effective champion. Most of Acts is a chronicle of Saul turned Paul's story. His scourging, his stonings, his snake bites, his shipwrecks, until he endures and weathers all manner of adversity to find himself in the very center of the empire, Rome, preaching the word of God, teaching about the kingdom of God, openly and unhindered, and creating a revolutionary movement in the process. In order to do that, in order to be a catalyst, a fomenter of revolution, Paul had to break out of four figurative prisons. He had to break out of the prison of his own certitude. Raised as a Pharisee, devoted to the Mosaic law, he was sure he knew the truth. And he was sure anyone who disagreed with him was not only wrong, they were blasphemous. But though the law gave him certitude, though it gave him definition, it did not give him comfort. It brought him no freedom. Because conscientious soul that he was, the more he tried to keep the law, the more he was aware that he fell short of it. It was only when the Spirit of God, through the voice of Christ on the road to Damascus, liberated him from everything he thought he knew, everything he'd been taught was right, that he found freedom. His step on the path of being a catalyst of revolution began by breaking out of prison of his own certitude. He had to break out of the prison of his prejudice. Certainly he was inimical to those Jews who declared Jesus Christ was Savior and Lord. He was sure they were wrong. But even more, he was sure that those pagans, those Gentiles, had to be outside of the purview of the kingdom and love of God. That irony of ironies, the Spirit of Christ recruited him to be an apostle to those very Gentiles, to those pagans, against whom he had been so prejudiced. He had to break out of the prison of his own failures, his own horrible past. Don't discount the fact that Saul was responsible for the torture and the death of many believers in Christ. He went out to oppress them, to bring them in to be tortured, to recant, and killed if they wouldn't. He went out to bring people in who believed Jesus was Lord, and it was his self-righteous fury, his wrong-headed self-righteous fury, that was responsible for the suffering and the death of many. And yet, irony of ironies, the Spirit of Christ brought him to a new understanding and embraced the very people he had tortured and killed. He realized that Christ's grace was greater than all of his sin, and that grace liberated him from the failures of his past and allowed him to break out of the prison of his failures. Fourth, he had to break out of the prison of conventional thinking and accepted thought. Luke presents Paul in this last picture of him as preaching the gospel openly and unhindered. But don't forget, Paul's entire career on behalf of Jesus Christ was spent in an atmosphere of hostility and rejection. He faced persecution and repudiation at every turn. But they could not quench his enthusiasm for the light of Christ. Luke depicts him at the end of Acts preaching and teaching Christ openly and unhindered, but Luke omitted one little detail. During those years in Rome, he was under house arrest and most of the time chained to a Roman soldier. Those shackles meant nothing to Paul. Those shackles did not quench his enthusiasm or his joy or his witness. He was still preaching and teaching unhindered, welcoming all who came to him. He had broken out of the prison of conventional thought and popular opinion. I've been preaching in the book of Acts most of the year, and I wonder if you've yet figured out who the star of the book of Acts is. The star of the book of Acts, the actor that gains the most credit, or should, is the Holy Spirit. You wonder what Acts means. It's not just the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that compels Peter and John to go into the temple and heal, even though it's illegal, and even though they're called to account by the religious authorities. The Holy Spirit that sends Philip into the desert to baptize and convert an Ethiopian eunuch who is thought by his deformity to be outside the kingdom of God's law. the Holy Spirit that moves Peter to break all social rules and religious convention and go into the home of a Gentile named Cornelius and baptize him and all his house. The Spirit that moves Paul and Silas to baptize a Corinthian jailer who has done so much cruelty. At every turn throughout the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit is work behind the scenes, moving people to be catalysts of change, fomenters of revolution. And they created a movement that turned the world upside down. My friends, I ask you a question this morning. How revolutionary are we in our faith? How revolutionary are we as a family of God? Have we truly broken out of the prison of our certitude? Are we willing to open ourselves to new ideas, to surrender things we've always been taught? Surrender ways we've always done it? Have we ever broken out of the prison of our certitude? Have we broken out of the prison of our prejudice? Or do we put the template of our expectations of what's right and righteous upon other people and say, they don't measure up? Have we truly broken out of the prison of our failures? Oh yeah, maybe we've tried at times to invite someone to church, but we were rejected. Have we gotten beyond that and tried it again? Have we broken out of the prison of what's expected, the prison of conventional thinking? Not too long ago, a young man came to a Baptist church. Well-dressed, sat in the service. People were kind to him. He loved the worship. He went home, said, I'll go back there again. The next time he went, instead of a long-sleeve shirt and dress, he just wore a short-sleeve shirt that exposed his vivid tattoos up both arms. And no one at the church spoke to him. This was that church. Have we really, really broken out of the prison of our prejudice? Or do we impose the template of what we think people should look like and be like in order to be a part of the family? Are we truly a revolutionary group? Ask yourself a question this morning. What have you done in the past year that was creative to bring about expansion in the kingdom of God? There's a movie a few years ago called We Bought a Zoo. Pretty good movie. And the man who bought the zoo lived by an axiom he taught when he was a child. If you can muster 20 seconds of audacious, creative courage, you just might can change your life and change the world. If periodically you can muster 20 seconds of audacious, creative courage, you might can change your life and the world. How much audacious, creative courage have you exercised? Have we exercised as a congregation? Think back 5 years, 10 years. What have you done to bring about growth in the kingdom of God, to expand the family of God, to live a magnetic life that brings people into the banquet table of grace? How audacious and creative have you been in your faith? How inclusive have you been in your invitations? Do we really live our gospel and embody our faith in unhindered fashion? Do we truly practice what Paul practiced, who welcomed all who came to him? Do we welcome all who come to Christ in this family? Or do we do the same thing over and over? I think of Einstein's definition of insanity. When you do the same thing over and over and over again and expect a different result, that's insanity. How audaciously creative are we in our faith? Every now and then I get in the kind of mood that says, all of Christianity ought to lock its doors for 30 days and say, you can't come to church. For 30 days, go out into the world and be the body of Christ and transform lives and then bring them to the banquet table. Historians differ as to what happened to Paul. Some say as soon as he appeared before Nero and proclaimed that Jesus was Kyrios, that Christ was Lord, Nero executed him. But most scholars think that probably he was acquitted on a technicality. That is, no one under the Sanhedrin were willing to travel to Rome to press charges. But then he stayed in Rome, continuing to preach and teach the gospel, until the Neronian persecution of AD 64 took his life and the life of most of the Christian leadership. So at best, when Luke ends this record of Paul preaching unhindered, he had at most 2 to 3 years to live. But he used that freedom. He used that freedom to foment the revolution of the kingdom of God. And his freedom is our inheritance. What will we do with it? How will we exercise our freedom in Jesus Christ on behalf of God's kingdom? May we pray together. God, your Spirit moves among us. It calls us to open our eyes. It calls us to see all who need your grace, not as we would give it, but as you do. May we be capable of audacious courage on your behalf. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Even as